More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, the uncomfortable comfort zone. Are you or is someone you care about stuck and settling for it? Well, we're going to help you get unstuck and start living. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the uncomfortable comfort zone. What are we talking about there? Well, you know, you can get into a place where you've been putting up with a frustrating situation or person for so long that you just assume it always has to be that way. And you end up settling in those areas. Well, we want to help wake you up because Pope Francis has mentioned that the biggest danger, this is a quote, the biggest danger in life is a bad spirit of adapting that is not meekness or humility, but mediocrity, and making the excuse for doing nothing by saying, that's just the way I am, or that's just the way it is. And that's really what we're talking about here. You know, this occurred to me, you know, about 10 years ago, there was a song by Gautier called Somebody I Used to Know.
Mm.
And there's a line in the song that says, you can get addicted to a certain kind of sadness.
Oh, and, no, I don't think I ever picked up on that line
yeah.
before.
And that's, I think that sort of characterizes the what we're really talking about today. This idea that, you know, we can be putting up with a frustrating situation or a difficult person or a challenging relationship for far too long and just sort of assume, well, I guess that's just the way it has to be. But if you're ready to stop settling in some area of your life or relationships, but you're not sure what to do to get unstuck, or for that matter, if there's someone you care about who seems like they're settling in their life or relationships and you're not sure how to support them or motivate them to change, let's explore how to get unstuck and start living the life God wants for you. The number to call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let us help you break out of that uncomfortable comfort zone.
You know, I think one of the ways we can know if we're stuck, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't feel stuck. That's not on my radar. If you're frustrated more than 50% of the time, you're stuck. You're stuck in something. You're stuck in a habit, a behavior pattern. And I'm not talking necessarily about some toxic behavior pattern. I'm just saying you do the same thing every day, the same way, and it's dimming your light. It's making you feel a little frustrated. So that when you have to do catching that bus again, doing that load of laundry again, making dinner for the umpteenth thousandth time, dealing with the kids' mess, handling that relationship when your sister calls, whatever those things are that just make you go, again? Again? That person again, that thing again, that's when you're feeling stuck. Because with stuck, which we really never think of, and we also think, by the way, that we have to overhaul our entire lives. We'll show you today you don't have to do that. Whenever we have that feeling of, I'm just so frustrated. I'm just so tired of having to deal with this person, this situation, this thing.
Or put up with, you know, this thing.
That too.
Yeah.
Then we know that the underlying feeling there is that we have gotten into a comfort zone, right? Comfort zone is supposed to be the thing that feeds you, that lifts up your soul, that you go to as a retreat. But in these cases, this comfort zone becomes something that's ordinary, far too predictable and dependable, but it doesn't really give anything to you anymore. It's just you're stuck in a very, as the title of our show today says, uncomfortable comfort zone. And you also can have people in your life who are doing this, and you have to handle it in some way. The friend or relation that constantly calls you to complain about their spouse, or their relationship with their kid, or their job.
But never does anything about it,
and
right?
You take it all, and you even give them advice, and they don't handle it. And then they call again next week, and it's leaving you feeling frustrated and stuck with the situation. How do you really help them in an effective way? And how do you get yourself out of being in that same ritual with them all the time? If any of this seems even remotely familiar, let's get you unstuck today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
If you've been asking yourself, how long do I have to put up with this? Or how long do I have to put up with this person? Yeah. Today is the day that you can stop. We're going to help you stop putting up with and start living. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And we can help you do it in a way that doesn't blow up your life. We had a caller earlier in the week who was very frustrated with some of his relationships with his job and his spouse and his mother-in-law. And he did just say, I just want to leave. I want to quit my job. I want to get a divorce. I want to run away. And when we think that that's the only way out, we can know that's not God's way. Because God's not going to ask you unless he's giving you some very definitive prophetic vision, and that's going to be a once in a million year kind of thing. He's not going to ask you to dismantle the sacraments in your life, the relationships he's blessed you with. He's going to show you how to tweak them so that you can live in his grace and be the person he's creating you to be and have the relationships he's creating you to have.
877-573-7825. Let us help you stop having to put up with that frustrating situation or difficult person and start living, identifying those ways forward, or figuring out how to support that person you care about who's stuck in an uncomfortable place in their lives. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, the Theology of the Body was St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world, and how to live a more abundant life and relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of our body and mind.
And today, as we look at getting unstuck and freeing ourselves from that frustration, the Theology of the Body really does remind us to stop settling, to see that God wants to fulfill the deepest longings of our heart for a love that doesn't fail, for relationships that are fulfilling, and for a life that reflects the glory of his grace. St. John Paul reminded us that we must keep our eyes not on what we see in front of us when we look at our broken world and our broken lives, but on what God sees when he looks at us, and on what God wants to make of our lives and relationships so that he can be glorified through our witness. The truth that will set us free is the truth God sees when he looks at our lives. Our job is to stand up to our doubts and fears and lean into the vision that God has for us instead, so that we can become what we are, as JP2 would say.
That's right. And in Love and Responsibility, which is the book that St. John Paul wrote before he even developed the Theology of the Body, he discusses how responsibility is simply the ability to respond to a situation in a way that reflects the power of God's grace and love. You know, settling forces us to reject both love and grace. It prevents us from working for our own or the other person's ultimate good, which, by the way, is the definition of love and the mission that grace is given to support. Now, you might be wondering, well, where does this whole idea of maybe Christian acceptance come in? Well, acceptance allows us to take stock of what's really going on, acknowledge how things ought to be, and then identify the next small steps we can take to nudge things in that healthier direction. True Christian acceptance is the first step to actually making change, to seeing God's power take root in our lives, where settling just says, even God can't fix this. Which, of course, is not true. So give us a call. If any of this is resonating for you, we want to help you through it and find your next steps at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Have you been putting up with a frustrating situation or difficult person for far too long? And are you ready to stop settling and start finding answers? Let us help you identify those next steps. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we ask your forgiveness for putting limits on your power and deciding that there are certain areas of our life that just can't change or are somehow beyond your will and your grace. And we bring those people and situations that we've been putting up with and settling for to you right now. And we ask you to teach us to respond to those people and situations in ways that will glorify you, that will work for everyone's ultimate good, and help us be our best selves. Lord, even when we can't see a way forward, you have a plan. You know what to do. And we are your students. We are your disciples. We place ourselves at your feet, and we ask you to teach us to respond to these situations in ways that will allow your glory and power to shine out. Can be amazed at what you can do, even with these messy, difficult, frustrating situations. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the uncomfortable comfort zone. If you or someone you care about is stuck and settling and tired of putting up with that person or that situation, we want to help you start finding answers and identifying the next steps forward toward the solutions you're longing for. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Tina, who's listening to EWTN Radio on Sirius XM 130 in Iowa.
Hi, Tina. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. This is crazy because I'm traveling in my car. I'm listening to you on XM Radio, and I have been stuck in my life. I am a stylist in a salon, and I need to change salons. I'm in a toxic environment. And I might just need a career move or something, but I'm not as bad as I was a year ago, but I know I can be better, and I need more financial security, and I might get a little emotional here, but...
You're welcome to.
I lost a grandson about a year and a half ago, too.
I'm so sorry.
It's called GVHD. Graft versus host. It's from a bad bone marrow transplant that he had because of cancer. So we had been fighting that for 8 years. I knew God would heal him, and he did of his cancer. But they said it would come back, and he needed a bone marrow transplant. So they gave him a bone marrow transplant, and that didn't work. And so I'm better than I was before because I've never given up my faith in the Lord.
Yeah, but you're still devastated.
I never gave up. Yeah, I never gave up my faith in the Lord. And I just read somewhere that it says, expect 5 bad years after the death of a child or a grandchild. But I don't want to live the next 3 years like this. And I'm better than I was.
I want to just say one thing with that one statement, and then we have some questions we want to ask you. But sure. Mother to mother, grandmother to grandmother here, I don't want you to think that that statement is prophetic in that now you're cursed for 5 years, some kind of Old Testament biblical thing. What it means is expect that grief will take time to work out. So you'll have better days, and then you'll have, oh, it should have been his birthday, or he would have loved this, or that little guy that I'm seeing across the mall looks just like him, and gosh, I miss him. So I want you to take the weight off of yourself right now that Satan's saying, and now you've got 5 terrible years. That's not what that statement meant for you to hear. It means you'll have better days that will teach you that God is still there and helping you and giving you relief. And then you'll have those moments where you'll feel sad or the grief will come back, and that's when you lean into, Lord, I need you here with me, and I need you to show me how to honor who my grandson was so that I can give you glory and help the world know that it's a better place because he was here.
Now, Tina, I did have a question for you. There are lots of different ways we could go with this. Is there something in particular that you'd like help with today?
Yes. You know, before, I'm one that I love continuing education. I love to move salons. I've moved in my career, and I want to grow. And so a lot of times I listen to God's voice, I pray for it, and I have a good feeling about it. And so I've been looking for places to go. I've been researching different opportunities, and I just don't feel right about it. Like, I don't, okay. I haven't had that calling, or you know how you just have that good feeling that the Lord is saying, this is your next thing.
But so you're kind of a question about discernment with all this.
I feel like this is my time.
Yeah, and if I'm understanding you correctly, I mean, how this ties in even to the sense of grief and loss, you know, how are you moving forward in your life in general, both professionally and in the... Okay, so the question of how do you move forward in the face of all of this, especially when you're feeling so conflicted about so many things. You know, it's... We're talking about the topic of discernment here. How do we discern something? And St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was sort of the guy who developed probably the clearest system of discernment in the history of the church, you know, identified three ways that God lets us know what he wants us to do. You know, the first way, and this is not St. Ignatius' language, obviously, I'm paraphrasing. The first way is he just whaps us upside the head.
Right? I would have loved to have heard him say that, but it wasn't the time.
He makes it so obvious, he knocks us off our horse, and we just know that's what we need to do.
You know, those very sort of mythical movie moments where the beam of light shines down and you hear the angels sing. You know, that's the kind of, you know, whapping upside the head.
And then the second mode of discernment is sort of where you get that feeling you're talking about. Maybe it's not clear at first, but the, you know, you're praying about it, you're thinking about it, and for no real clear reason necessarily, it just feels that you should be moving in this direction.
And your spirit responds that enough where all of those, or at least a lot of those what-ifs that you would normally be having run through your head get suspended enough that you feel like you can act on it.
The third way, though, is the one we don't like very much and have a hard time understanding, and that is through our own reason. Now, we might think, well, how is that discernment? That's just us figuring stuff out. But the thing is, we can't on our own know what's good, right? So if we can identify the right path, the right direction, then that is God working in us, and we have to trust that that's God's voice. And so how do we discern that? Well, as I talk about in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, you look for three things: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Meaningfulness refers to where do I believe, or in what situation, or what choice allows me to use my gifts more fully to be a blessing to others. So as you look ahead of how do you navigate this grief, or how do you move forward in your professional career, where do you think you're going to have the best opportunity to use your gifts to be a blessing to others? That's meaningfulness. Intimacy refers to my ability to build healthier, stronger relationships and be more available to the people that I care about and depend on me. So of the options you have available to you as you negotiate this grief and as you try to figure out your way forward professionally, what choices allow you to be present to the people that you care about, to lean into those relationships and be there for others and let them be there for you? more completely. And then virtue isn't about being nice so much as it is about being strong. How can you respond to whatever you're facing in a way that allows you to be that strong, healthy, more graceful person that makes Satan sorry that he ever picked on you, right? That enables you to wake up every day and say, okay, how can I take on this day and get something out of it and give something to it and become stronger for it, right? As we lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, we are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit talk to us through our own reason and intellect, because that's what we're praying through. Okay, Lord, help me respond to this in a way that's meaningful, intimate, and virtuous. And that's allowing our hearts to be receptive to the movement of grace. And that's God actually talking to us. So you might not feel God leading you in one direction or the other, but if you can see that one path leads to a greater meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue, that is God telling you to take that path. We actually walk through this more in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com or anywhere books are sold. I'd really encourage you to check that out as a follow-up to what we've discussed here, but this should get you going. Tina, thank you so much for the call. What a great way to kick off the show. We are adding you and your family to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you in your journey, I hope this won't be the last time you call in. Thank you so much for the call. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're talking with Rachel Watkins, who's got some insights on how we can get unstuck. Stick around.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guerendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled The Uncomfortable Comfort Zone, and if you're tired of putting up with that frustrating situation or person, we've got the answers for you. But joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11, is here to talk about how we can get unstuck in some simple ways. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
It's great to have you with us. And Rachel, this is something that you have been very intentional about all your life, making sure that if you're feeling stuck or frustrated, you do something about it. But it doesn't have to be huge, does it? It can be small things. But how and what kinds of things?
Well, I like to think of the image of the sloth, you know, just hanging out in the tree, moving so little that moths can grow on their body.
Sorry, I didn't actually hear what you said. Sloth, like the slow-moving animal. Gotcha. Okay, yeah, with you.
You know, and that is, I mean, sloth is one of the, you know, the worst sins we can fall into, those deadly sins. But we can find it in a not-so-sinful way that can just lead to us being unhappy with our lives, discontented, or frustrated. And what we need to do is we have to begin to move. And I mean in those small, simple, joyful ways that can just shake us up a little bit. And the gorgeous weather of spring is a perfect time to do it for yourself and your family. You know, if you've been someone who always prays your rosary sitting comfortably in the chair by the fireplace, do your rosary while walking outside. You know, take Jesus with you as you go outside and hike with your kids and stuff. And those small things can find you kind of shake up your soul a little bit to see things in a new way, and a new solution might come into your eyes.
You know, I actually really love this. Some people might go, well, how does that help me get unstuck? That's not big enough. That's not going to change everything. But when we take those little tiny steps, go to a different mass than the one you always go to. Have something different for dinner. Do something fun and different after dinner with the kids instead of the same old thing. We're opening a little door for the Holy Spirit to come and say, see, you can do things differently. You can let me in. I can lead you to a more interesting and better place. We often think we have to shift everything. But when we're willing to take those little steps instead of staying in the frustration of our stuckness, it opens that crack that God can say, if you think you can do this one little thing, look what else I can make of your life and your decisions and the opportunities I'm giving you.
Success builds on success, and even the tiniest successes. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for that insight, the reality of that we need to break those things down and not just look for the one big thing that's going to change it all, but those tiny changes that allow us to cooperate with grace in little ways. If folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work, you can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. When we come back, we're taking your calls about that sense that you've been putting up with that person or that situation for way too long. How do you get unstuck and start living? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It was like these aha moments kept happening for me over and over and over again. And they still happen, because every time you turn around, you see something in society, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and are looking at it through the lenses of Scripture and teachings of the faith, as we say always here, it makes sense. You connect the dots. And you look at what's happening with all of this idea of the transgender ideology and this saying, I want to do whatever I want with my body because it's my body. And then you see all the problems that come from that, not even looking at it from a quote-unquote religious perspective, but the physical problems and mental problems, of course, that the media tried to suppress, but now it's starting to come out. It's like, well, that's because you're denying who you are, made in the image and likeness of God. It's not that complicated, but we make it complicated because we don't want to look at the truth.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is prayer? The Catholic Catechism defines prayer simply as the raising of our mind and heart to God. Humility is the foundation of prayer. When we pray, do we speak from the height of our mind and will, or from the depths of a humble and contrite heart? It is only when we acknowledge that we do not know how to pray as we ought, are we then ready to receive the gift of prayer. St. Augustine points out that when we come to the well seeking water, Christ comes to meet us. He first seeks us and asks for a drink. His asking arises from God's desire for us. God's thirst encounters our thirst. He thirsts that we may thirst for Him. Where does prayer come from? Scripture most frequently cites the heart. If the heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's world seems devoid of any real meaning, which leaves teens especially floundering to find their own identities. These are important years in your child's emotional and psychological development. They need you more than ever, even if they don't show it. Here are two key aspects of your child's development to focus on during the teen years. One, help your teen find something to believe in.
In a word apathetic to religion, your child won't understand that his life matters to you and to God unless you give him those messages. The second way? Help your child find an activity to be passionate about. In your teen's quest for independence, she needs a cause to call her own. Sports, clubs, and faith-based groups are all perfect ways to encourage your teen to develop a healthy separation from mom and dad. For more tips on how to get through the teen years, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Uncomfortable Comfort Zone. What we're talking about are those times where we kind of get a little too comfortable with having to put up with certain people or situations that we just shouldn't put up with. You know, in the last segment, Rachel Watkins mentioned the sin of sloth, and we all tend to think that sloth is the sin of laziness. It's not, actually. It's the sin of not doing stuff about something that needs to be done. It's the sin of looking around and putting up with things, basically, of seeing that there's an injustice
exactly.
in this situation, that the things are not as they are meant to be, or as they should be, and I'm not going to do anything about it because I'm just tired of it. And I don't want to deal with it.
And that includes the injustice of not caring for ourselves as though we are children of God, not caring for our relationships, such as our marriages or our relationship with our kids, that should be treated in a way that comes with the sacrament of marriage and having children in that sacrament, not treating other people with the justice they deserve, on and on and on, of just saying, this is not quite in order with what God really wants for us, but we just sit there and go, well, you know, it is what it is.
And actually, I like that. Sloth is the sin of saying it is what it is. In some ways, you know, but the theology of the body reminds us that building the kingdom of God is really about making our relationships healthy and holy. And if there's something that's unhealthy or unholy in those relationships, putting up with it is the sin of sloth. It's exactly the opposite of what we're called to do as Christians who are on the mission to set the world right again through God's grace. So give us a call if you are tired of putting up with that challenging situation or that frustrating person, and you're tired of being stuck and feeling like you're settling in your life. Let's identify the next steps you can take to start breaking free. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Sean, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Sean. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning, Lisa and Greg. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I listen to you guys from time to time when I'm driving, and you know, every once in a while you guys will touch my heart in a way that I wasn't expecting, so I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much, and it's really good to get your call today. Tell us what's going on with you.
Okay, so basically, I've been married for almost 10 years. I'm a Catholic. My wife is a Catholic, but she lost her faith. She doesn't believe in Christ any longer, doesn't believe in the Catholic Church. And so we have great division in our household. And so we got married by way of justice of the peace originally, and the plan was, I always thought we'd get married with the Catholic Church, and then we'd do things right and get right with God and in union with Him. But unfortunately, as time has gone on, there's been more and more division, where she's at the point where she, you know, believes that it's not, it's all falsehood.
Well, let me ask you, what happened? Okay, so I mean, it sounds like she lost her faith before you guys got even married, or like, I guess I'm trying to understand here, because it sounded like you were both of the same. Okay, so how did she lose her faith?
I don't exactly know how she lost her faith. I will say she talks about, you know, the abuse scandal of the church as being a big factor in it. She doesn't really believe the Bible. She believes it's written by man, but not by, you know, divine authority in God, you know, as I do.
So, Sean, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because if you had said to me you got married in the sacraments in the church and everything was one with the two of you, spiritually, and then over the time of your marriage it fell off, that would be a different set of questions. But this was a woman who was being honest with you, I guess, from the beginning, and you saw that she was not evenly yoked with you. She wasn't into the faith. You had this hope that she would change once you got married, but you got married by a justice of the peace. You've known who she is, so why now, after all this time, raising kids, four of them, is it really getting to you? We need to
what's
figure
happened
that out so we can, yeah, what's happening right now?
Okay, so I'll try to paint the picture a little bit better. Okay. It's been getting to me over the course of the entire time. So I guess I really thought that, well, you know, we'll have children and then we will grow together closer and we will get right with God and union with God and get married in the Catholic Church.
No, but that's all magical thinking, Sean. That's all magic.
Yeah.
You asked our screener if you're going to get a miracle. You know, God has placed you in her life to be the miracle.
Amen.
And you've been too passive from the beginning of this relationship. You've not been the man of God that God's calling you to be in discerning and leading this relationship. Now, I'm gonna throw this out here, and unfortunately, I don't have time to kind of ask you the question, but I'm going to assume based on the way this is going here that, because it fits into the pattern. This isn't a religious problem. Okay, this is a respect issue. There are lots of couples. Lots of couples who have faith differences, but they respect each other. So because they respect each other, you know, they're willing to say, you know what, this religion thing, you know, it's not really my thing, but I love you and I know it's important to you, so I want to understand it better and I want to try to participate in it as much as I can. Now, where you don't have that respect, what you see is somebody drawing lines saying, no, that's terrible. I think that's stupid. And you're an idiot for believing. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And you know what? It doesn't just apply to religion. It applies to lots of other things, too, like where we would get married and how we would raise our kids and all these other kinds of big decisions where you're willing to give in. Now, the reason it becomes a flashpoint in religion is because you're not willing to give up your faith.
Right. Or you've discovered it more. So my feeling here, perhaps, and again, you know, this is a long-standing situation between you and your spouse. What one of my feelings is that you didn't respect yourself enough to set those standards during your dating relationship, during the beginning of the life of raising children with your first child. Sweetheart, I love you, but you know my faith means something to me. We need to have our children baptized and being raised in the faith, and I need you to come alongside of me and start, you know, supporting that, whatever that was. And now the Holy Spirit's calling on you, Sean, and letting you know that you and the kids deserve Him, deserve God, deserve a life with Christ and more than you've set the standard for. Now, that doesn't mean you just put your foot down and say, we're all going to be Catholic.
No, well, but going back to my other point here, this isn't really about religion at all.
Exactly.
Okay, this is about the fact that there is a lack of respect in the relationship where she's kind of drawn this line where unless she thinks it's valuable, it's not valuable, even if it's meaningful to you. And I don't just mean about religion, right? It's about a lot of other things that you've been willing to compromise on these last 10 years. And I need you, Sean, to use the grace that you're receiving in your prayer life and by participating in the sacraments to stand up and say, honey, I love you with all of my heart, but we need to get some professional help here because you don't respect me. And I don't know how to basically expect that respect from you. And I've been willing to make too many compromises in our relationship. And I've been willing to not assert what's important to me and what I care about in the hopes that eventually I would get it. And that's done you and the children a real disservice. And I need to learn how to find my voice, and I need you to learn how to be willing to listen to me better. And so we need to get some professional help to figure out how to do that. And so I've made an appointment with this marriage counselor, a marriage-friendly therapist. Now, if she refuses to go, I want you to go. And I want you to learn how to get that voice, not in a way that turns you into a bossy, controlling, nasty person, but in a way that turns you into an assertive, caring person, a person who's knows how to be a person in this relationship, because you haven't been. You've been a shadow. And you've been hoping that at some point she would allow you to be a person instead of being the person that you need to be, and insisting that, she learn to love you and respect you for who you are and participate in your life as well. The miracle that you're looking for is growing the backbone that allows you to be respectfully and charitably assertive and insist that, you guys learn to be a healthier couple. You can't force her to be Catholic or to worship as you do, but you can insist that she learn to be willing to see the truth and goodness and beauty in the things that you find true, good, and beautiful, and participate in those things as much as she is able, just as you should be expecting yourself to do the same for her. And I think that from your story here, you've done that. You've done your best to try to do that. And I would suggest saying that to her. Honey, you know, for all these years, I have done my best to try to accommodate to the things that are important to you, to try to hear what you're saying, to try to listen to what's important to you, to try to see the truth and goodness and the beauty and the things you find true, good, and beautiful. But you have not been willing to do that with me. And not just about this religion issue. That's just the thing I'm not willing to give up. But lots of other issues, too. And so we need to learn how to more effectively respect each other. And that's why I've made this appointment with this marriage-friendly therapist. And I need us to go to learn how to respect each other.
And if she absolutely refuses to go, Sean, you go anyway. Because you need the support in being secure in what you want to be respected for developing skills to be able to deal with any kind of conflict, because, you know, you might be uncomfortable with that after all these years of trying not to cause any, and to really help you create the vision of who you want to be and who you want your family to be. And you need support for that, and you need some new skills. And Sean, you wanted a miracle. You turned on Sirius XM today and got EWTN radio, and this is what you heard, and you got through. There's your miracle. But look at biblical miracles, how often we have to cooperate with them through salvation history. Moses, poor Moses, with his arms up in the air all of that time, you know, having to trudge after the pillar of fire, you know, just so many times. Joshua having to march around that wall, you know, Naaman having to go and dunk himself. There's a response. Sometimes it seems like it won't get us to where we want to be. How could raising our arms possibly win a battle? But listening to this show, getting the support you need to become the strong, loving servant leader you're created to be.
Which does not mean being the doormat you've been.
Exactly. And helping your wife become everything she is being called to be, and helping your kids see that mom and dad can do this journey together, learn how to respect each other, and see that God's doing that in your life, that's going to make a huge difference in their ability to trust God and have a relationship with Him. So, Sean, raise those arms and use them to call a great marriage family therapist and get started on this, because I think God wants to give you a miraculous family through it all.
You can either find somebody locally that you're comfortable working with, or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our Catholic telecounseling practice. We do a lot of this kind of work, actually, with couples. It's one of the most common issues that we deal with in our practice. We'd be happy to help you as well. You can learn more about that service at CatholicCounselors.com. But wherever you turn for help, know that the answer here is not continuing to just be a shadow in this relationship, hoping that one day your wife will give you permission to be a person. But it's about learning how to find your voice and how to lovingly insist that you learn to listen to each other in this relationship in ways that you've never listened to each other before. Thank you so much for the call. We have to go to break, but we are continuing to take your calls about those situations and people that you are tired of putting up with. You've gotten too comfortable putting up with those things, but you're tired of being comfortable in it, and it's time to do something about it. Let us help you identify those next steps at 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.
For I know well the plans I have made for you. Plans for your welfare, not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope.
And, you know, this verse, I think, is so important because it reminds us, we're so often so afraid to move because we're just going to make it worse. You know, but if we give the situation to God and we start acting, as we were talking about with the previous caller, moving toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in those situations, Even if it seems to make things worse initially, we are still heading on the path that God wants us on, and He will bring us through it. We have to trust and keep moving forward, knowing that God's plan for us is one of welfare and not of woe, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. With that, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about those situations that you're tired of putting up with and need some answers for. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions right after the break.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, but I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Uncomfortable Comfort Zone. We're talking about those times when we've been settling for things that we really shouldn't, putting up with difficult situations, frustrating people, instead of seeking the answers that we need to seek. Let us help you today at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alex, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hi, Alex. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Greg and Lisa. My difficult situation is not knowing how to love myself, and then it gets passed on to my son. A little bit of my background is I'm an orphan from Russia. I was there to watch the Soviet Union fall, watch some horrendous things happen to my family, as well as undergoing some malicious abuse as a child, that no one should have to, endure, as well as, reaching cardiac arrest prior to the age of 5. At age 9, I get adopted by an American family who later on abandons me at a Christian, home in Mexico. And
mercy.
I just going through all of that, but yet still just having being a spirit-filled man, knowing the presence of God, and just like just the verse of the day, the Jeremiah 29:11, it's just hard for me to grasp that concept that God wants the good for me instead of the woe.
And Alex, you know, so there are a lot of ways we can go with this, but you also mentioned to the screener that you've got some issues with your son. How old is your son?
He's 15 months, and I get him, like, for like every other day, and it seems like I'm pushing that time off, and I'm spending more time with drinking and a knife throwing hobby just to keep my mind off of things. I think it's just because of an abandonment issue.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of attachment disorder? I'm guessing that you might have heard phrase at some point. Have you ever got any kind of help for that, or are you getting any kind of assistance with it?
I'm in the process of actually working with a Catholic counselor, but again, okay. It's one of those things that I'll go once or twice, and then I would take a long time off for some reason, mm-hmm. because opening up the Pandora box of all this hurts just... Yeah. Complicated.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could understand why that's your pattern, because we're talking about the uncomfortable comfort zone here. And your comfort zone, because of the attachment disorder you rightfully have, because of the trauma and abandonment that you have repeatedly gone through in your life, that uncomfortable comfort zone is one of self-protection. It's your brain is saying, solitude is safer. I don't want to look at this. This is too scary. I can't relive it. And every cell of you is saying, I can't do it again. But now God has given you this child, and it's making you have to kind of prick up your spiritual ears and say, he's beautiful. He's wonderful. I want to give him the best. And that means breaking the pattern of abandonment that happened through two sets of parents in your life, so that you can heal and give attachment and love to your son and actually receive it yourself.
Yeah, you know, as parents, we often struggle to give our kids what we didn't get. But God gives us the invitation through our children to heal those wounds. And we actually talk about this. We have a chapter on healing our childhood wounds through our parenting role in our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace. And I'd really encourage you to check that out as a supplement to what we're talking about here. But what I'd like you to do, all right, when you're feeling that pull away, you know, from your son, or just that pull away from people in general, you know, I want you to go to God and say, Lord, I'm just feeling this need to self-protect. I'm feeling this need to isolate. Teach me how to deal with that feeling. Teach me how to respond to the people in my life. Show me how to be the man you're calling me to be. And I want that to be your constant prayer. Keep bringing that back to God. I feel like I need to get away. Help me know what to do with that feeling. Help me to calm down. Help me respond to the people around me. Help me participate in these relationships. Heal this wound inside of me. Give me the courage to face this. And, you know, as you're praying through that, you know, you're allowing God, the Heavenly Father, to heal those wounds in you, so that you can be present to your child and to the people that are in your life. This is something that's going to be really important to go to counseling for faithfully and as frequently as you can afford to go, honestly, because, you know, attachment disorder isn't just a psychological problem; it's a neurological problem as well. To the point where, you know, affection can sometimes make you feel like you're frying your circuits, you know, intimacy of any kind, like emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, can feel overwhelming, like a tidal wave. And that's because, the nerves in your social brain aren't thick enough gauge to be able to handle the electrical impulses that come with intimacy, with connection. Now, the good news is you can develop what's called earned secure attachment. Those neurons can become beefier with experience and practice, but it's exercise, you know, so holding and cuddling your child is going to feel stressful for you at first, but the more you do it, the more you're actually stimulating those nerve cells to grow and become thicker and handle that the current of affection and that current of intimacy that's trying to run through it. It's like building up muscle when you exercise. It might hurt while you're doing it, and maybe you can only do it for certain periods of time before you have to step back and take a break, but you keep coming back to it so you can build up those neurological muscles in the social brain that allow you to participate in relationships, that allow you to experience intimacy, that actually allow you to enjoy connection, which you can't right now. But therapy is going to help keep you accountable for that and give you exercises that can help continue to build up that social brain and that capacity for participating in relationships. So the more you can do to be present, the more you can be praying the way I'm suggesting that you pray, to be mindful about what you need to be doing and keep your eye on the vision here. The more you stay in that counseling, it's going to be a long journey, but the more you do this, the more you're going to earn that secure attachment that was denied you. I'd also encourage you, Alex, to check out a book by Tim Clinton, Dr. Tim Clinton. It's called Attachments, and it's going to help you really understand not just what's wrong, but what you need to do about it, as it talks through the different attachment styles and what attachment wounds look like and how to begin to heal them. Now, we do a lot of this kind of work as well through CatholicCounselors.com. Our whole practice is founded in the theology of the body and in attachment theory. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. But please do continue this work, because God clearly has real plans for you and a real desire to heal you. And I hope that you'll find the courage to respond to it. With that, we have to go, but thank you so much, folks, for tuning in today, and I hope that you've heard some things that enable you to get unstuck in those places where you find yourself settling for an uncomfortable comfort zone. If we can do anything to help you move forward, check out the resources we mentioned on today's program at CatholicCounselors.com, and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.